I'm Allison Kaskowski, otherwise known as the Allison K. I'm a fitness innovator and entrepreneur turned business mentor and retreat master. A client experience is more than just making the sale or the transaction. A client experience is about how it's put together so that clients can receive amazing real transformation. Here you'll hear all about how the industry leaders are creating amazing experiences. I'm always going to give it to you straight because I know your time is valuable. Are you ready? Let's get into the show.
Hey everybody, it's Allison Kaskowski. Thank you for joining me again this week for another edition of Creating the World's Best Client Experience. This is the business edition of our very successful Tuesday flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. And you know, I'm always talking about the client experience from the two lanes that we really focus on here, not just when you hear from me, but when I get to talk to all the amazing guests that we get to have. And that is, we always want to be highlighting how to massively enhance the value we get for our customers and our clients, right? That's always number one. But we also want to be highlighting the result, or results, I should say, that we actually help our clients get. So today, since this is kind of a theme I've been on all year, and that's retreats, events, intensives, how to maximize the in-person experience. What I want to do today is kind of pull the curtain back a little bit and give you a little bit of the behind the scenes on retreat preparation. As you know, we do a lot of retreats here at CU Fitness and the Allison K Agency. You've heard me talk about my experience as a participant this year on a couple of retreats that I've been on. You've heard me talk about the things, the retreats that we actually do with our clients and what those are like. But I really haven't shared a lot about my preparation process. And I thought it might be kind of cool to pull the curtain back and kind of share a little bit about how we prepare for that. Because you're probably thinking out there, if you're listening to this podcast, you're a business owner, you're always kind of looking for what that edge could be in your business and how to really make your client experiences not just better, but more impactful across the board. But a lot of that starts, well, not a lot. It all starts with how we're being, right? And today is Thursday, October the 16th, when you're listening to this. And if it's after that, that's fine too. We actually kick off our La Dolce Vita in Movimento Italian retreat experience tomorrow on the Amalfi Coast. And we're actually here right now. And we are going to be kicking this off tomorrow. And what I thought I would get in here and share with you is give you a little bit of the work that we've done over the last few weeks to get ready for this experience, not just from the business perspective and the marketing and the selling the spots and all of that. That's kind of been an ongoing process for the last 9 months, truthfully. But what I really want to talk about today is how I prepare as a retreat leader and just kind of give you just a little bit of insight into how I think and how I prepare and how I focus on not just putting together the program, but protecting my own energy. Because I really think as retreat leaders, we have to be examples of, you know, not just what we teach and promote, but actually we need to be very aware that we're walking our walk, right? It's very easy, I think, for a lot of coaches, and I actually see a lot of people that I know do this. They talk about it like this is what we do, but they're not actually doing it themselves. And unfortunately, I see this a lot in the retreat space. A lot of retreat leaders don't go on retreats. They don't invest in themselves to go on retreats, which I think you're doing yourself a huge disservice if you don't practice what you preach, I think. And I know there are probably a lot of you listening that will agree. And before you push back and tell me that, well, it's just not feasible right now, financially, for whatever reason, whatever, I just want to like stop that right now and say, look, we have to always be an example of what we're teaching. We have to be modeling to people that we're willing to do the things that we're asking people to do with us. And when I hear retreat leaders tell me that they can't invest, that, you know, they have to do all these things so they can justify taking time off, you know, I think we have to really look at that as retreat leaders and business owners, because are we really being in alignment with what we talk about and what we teach? And one of the things that I've really learned to do better, I think, a lot better than I used to, I'll just be the first to admit that, over the last 2 or 3 years in particular, is really dialing in my prep process better. You know, for a lot of years, I worked very, very long hours, like so many of you probably. And I literally had a bullshit story that I would tell myself that I needed to justify being able to take time off. And if you stop and think about that, if you ever tell yourself that story, I want you to know I understand because I used to do it. But if you're still telling yourself that story, I think you got to stop and take a look. And I think you have to ask yourself, why do I think this is still true? Because if we're not willing to embody and demonstrate on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis that we're doing what we teach, then I think something's really wrong. And I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm not saying that, you know, you're just not doing what you say you're doing. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not making you wrong. But what I am saying is that I think this could be an opportunity for you to look at that different. I really had to have a lot of conversations with myself over why I felt like that was a true statement that I was telling myself. And I think when we're in the time for money grind, or when we're in a schedule where we're, you know, constantly grinding out the client hours and the deliverables, we're really in a kind of on a hamster wheel. And even if your business doesn't rely on that necessarily, and you have to keep in mind, I started coaching having a 100% in-person business background when I really got more and more into coaching. And my main business model was just that. It was a time for money grind. It was dollars for hours. It was sessions with clients where I didn't get paid. It was really trying to stay ahead of the curve. So if you think about that for a minute, if you're going to take a week off, that's 5 to 6 business days, depending on what your business hours are, that you're not doing that. And if you're not careful, you find yourself in a situation where you're either working double before you go or double when you get back to justify it. And I literally did that for a lot of years. And I know that a lot of you listening probably still buy into that some. And I want you to know that I understand. But I will say that that right there is in your way if you're looking for things to be different in the future. And if you're really looking to embrace doing retreats, intensives, small boutique events, or anything remotely similar to any of that, then I want you to know that you're going to want to listen to what I'm going to share with you today. I'm going to get really real and honest and talk about, you know, why that thought pattern didn't help me, and how I ended up showing up on a couple of my retreats when I could have showed up a lot better. And those were lessons that I had to learn. But what I will share with you are what I think are 3 really important things to think about as you are preparing to not just travel to a retreat destination, but to prepare to show up as the best version of you to deliver the kind of experience that your retreat participants are expecting and deserve from you, okay? So, but before I get into that, I'm just going to tell you a little story about how I really started doing retreats and, you know, the couple of the big mistakes that I made in the beginning. Because I'm, you know, if you know me, I'm not a gatekeeper. I'm going to tell you exactly the way that it is. And some of it ain't pretty, but I'm just going to do it anyway, because I feel like, you know, integrity is one of my number one core values. And I never want to seem, when you hear me or follow me, that I'm any different than when you meet me in person. That's really important to me. And I know a lot of people in the business space who are not like that. And it really strikes a nerve with me. So I feel very justified in calling that out, because I know that I walk my walk as well as talk my talk. But when I first had my first idea of doing retreats, my initial vision was to do like a fitness weekend. You know, if you know me, my background is in health and fitness. I started out working in corporate fitness and transitioned into the health club industry before I went out on my own. And that was close to 30 years ago, which really blows my mind. I can't believe it's been that long. But back then, there was no online space. All we basically had was in person. And, you know, the first few gyms that I worked in were your traditional, what I call big box gyms, like your Gold's Gyms, your YMCAs, the places where you picture all the equipment and people coming to work out together. And that was my first experience, really. And because that was really the main business model that we used in the 1990s. And so as the online and virtual space became bigger, you know, it was evident that as businesses, as business owners, if we wanted to stay relevant that we needed to be flexible. And I resisted that for a very long time. But even back around the turn of the century, I had this idea that I wanted to do like a fitness weekend. A colleague of mine suggested that I do like a workout camp. And so that was kind of my first thought, was to take some clients to the beach or the lake or the mountains and do like a fitness weekend and focus on workouts and some, you know, eating strategies and maybe do some classes, and we'd all just bond and we'd be friends and all of that. And so I really thought about that for a very long time, but I was never able to really implement that fully because I was stretched so thin from doing what I was talking about earlier, and that is the time for money grind. You know, I was doing sometimes 12, 13 clients a day. you know, on top of teaching a class, on top of my teaching responsibilities at Meredith College, where I'm still an adjunct faculty member, I really just think about now at 57, I must have really thought that I had 40 hours in every day, the way that I operated. And I literally had a crazy thought that if I didn't do that, I wasn't going to make any money. And I think a lot of you can probably relate to that because, you know, when you get used to doing things one way, it's really hard to think that things can be different, right? It's really hard. And it's scary to really sit with that and understand that if you are going to make changes, that it means there are going to be things that have to go. And we can know that on a logical level, right? We can know that because we think about it and we understand the importance of it, but it doesn't always mean that that translates into action, at least action that we're able to sustain. And so there were a lot of periods of time where I would try to do that. And it just, I wasn't able to sustain it because I was still listening to this crazy thought in my head a lot, right? And this is just what we do as human beings. We're creatures of habit. And so you're probably sitting there thinking, what in the world changed finally? I'll tell you what changed. I decided that I needed to really rework my business model if I really wanted to make my dreams happen. And so that was when I downsized my very successful studio that I owned in downtown Raleigh for close to 18 years and, you know, basically cut my space in half and moved to a smaller space. And I knew that it meant that some of my clients would probably not follow me. That traditionally happens when you move locations and you change business, you know, basically move, you are going to lose people. That's just what's going to happen. But for me, what really outweighed that fear was the realization that I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And the clients that I was serving, I absolutely adored. And I've been so fortunate over the years to have had amazing people trust me and buy into my vision for them. And I'll always be grateful for that. And some of those clients are still with me today. And, you know, most people, when they come and work with me, they stay with me for a very long time. And I really think that that is a credit to not just my philosophy, but the way that I embody what I teach, right? I really think of myself as an educator and an enabler more than just a trainer and a coach, right? And so when I moved, I finally decided, and this was about 10 years ago, I finally decided that I was going to start doing those retreats that I thought about. And so my first thought was, I want to try to do one at the beach. And I wanted to do one for a weekend. And I even had my student assistant at the time do quite a bit of research for me on possible properties where we could go. But then I got stuck with the thought that how in the world am I going to sell this? This is something I've never done before. It literally felt like Groundhog Day to me. It really felt like I was starting over. And that fear can be very real when you're really established. I knew I wanted to get people together. I knew that as a seasoned instructor that I was fully capable of doing it, but I was literally stuck in the mud of how do I get started? And at the time, there really weren't any mentors out there that I knew and trusted enough that I felt like could help me. So I really kind of went about it on my own for quite a while, you know, researching the best ways to sell spots, the best ways to promote, the best way to market in your business, just a lot of the stuff that we see pop up in our social media feed and that's online by the hundreds today, right? There's literally hundreds, not just people out there talking about this, but DIY strategies that you can simply download. A lot of them are free. A lot of them are very, very cheap, I would say, like, you know, less than $100. But you have to be willing to put in the time and learn it. And if there's anything that I'll say about me is that I don't give up. I mean, I've been doing this a very long time. And when I'm determined and put my mind to something, you might as well consider it done. It might take me a while, but I'll do it. Because my philosophy is there really aren't many people out there who are going to outwork me. You know, I know that sometimes things take time and I'm willing to embrace that. But you have to understand about 10 years ago, I was kind of done with that whole idea. And I knew that I needed to do something different. So I just thought, okay, I'm going to keep this really simple and I'm going to decide to do something. My first retreat was a local retreat. It was right here in Raleigh. It was downtown. I found a beautiful space that, you know, companies were using for private events and everything. And I thought I would just do a single day. And I liked the idea of that versus a weekend because number one, there was no travel involved. Number two, I felt like it was going to be an easy sell because it was local. And I knew at the time that my audience was mostly local, even though we were already online with a social media presence and I already had people that I was supporting remotely with accountability, but I really had not broken into a lot of online coaching yet. And so I knew that my primary source of people who were going to be interested in this were going to be people who were either local or within a fairly close drive of coming here. So I knew that was the strategy I was going to need to use. So it made sense that I started with a strategy that was going to be simple for me to do. So that's kind of what we did. And for 3 or 4 months, I really hit it very hard. I was reaching out and talking to people, emailing, inviting people, every opportunity I had. And, you know, back then, I knew what my promise was. I knew what my outcome was, but I was still learning how to message it because it was a different way to work with me than what my clients and people that knew me for. And I think that's one of my biggest lessons in the beginning was, and for all of you listening who are just breaking into retreats or maybe wondering how you can make this work better in your business is, you know, we have to give ourselves grace when it comes to that. You know, anytime you embark on something new, it's going to feel like you're starting over. So basically over the course of 3 to 3.5 months, I worked myself silly, literally. I'm kind of ashamed to say that now, but I didn't know what I didn't know. And I was emailing and calling and messaging and literally felt like pleading with people to say yes. Now, we have to understand that when we're marketing something, our energy is everything. And so that was one of my biggest lessons after that first one. My initial thought was that I wanted 25 or 30 people for this single day event and how great it was going to be. And I ended up with 8. And at the beginning, it sort of felt like a disappointment, but at the end of the day, it actually worked out. But here's where I sort of went wrong with that. Even though I love the experience that I put together in that we did a couple of workouts, we did a few what I call roundtable discussions where we sat around and just visited with each other. I brought in a really nice lunch for us. And then we finished the day with a piano meditation from a guy who had been playing a lot of the meditations on one of the group fitness programs that I used to teach regularly. The program at the time was called Body Flow. It's now changed to Body Balance. For those of you listening that take Les Mills programs, that's what that was. And the gentleman's name was Stanton Lanier, and he came to Raleigh to play the meditation for that first day retreat that I did. And the way that I worked that out is I had a colleague who had a personal relationship with him, and we ended up languaging, you know, that weekend as doing a concert for him to be able to make money for his charity. So we were able to get him to come to town, not just for the concert. And since he was in town, coming to town, it was easy to get him to come and play my meditation, which was the cherry on top for that day. Now that all that's said and done, you know, my next retreat was a weekend at our lake house, which is, if you know me, you know, my family has a place on Lake Norman, which is just north of Charlotte. And then we went to the beach. And from there, we pretty much hit the ground running. We did a couple in the mountains. We started doing them down in the Keys, which if you know me, we do retreats in Key West every year. It's a very special place for me. And it's one of the reasons that I like doing events down there. But I share this story with you because there were a lot of things that I learned about what I could do better. And it's really helped me dial in what I think is a much better preparation process, a process that I've been in for the last 2 weeks to get ready for our Italy participants who are all arriving tomorrow. I'm so excited to see these people. These are people, we have such a variety of people here that are coming. Some are arriving today, some are arriving tomorrow. And I have to be honest, all of the people joining us have never been on a retreat with me before, which I think is very cool because as a retreat leader, your goal is always to keep expanding your reach. That should always be your goal if you're a business owner. But as a retreat leader, we have to understand that people say yes because of us, because of their relationship with us. The relationship with you as the leader is probably the number one reason why people say yes. So for me, the fact that I've been able to develop these relationships with people who don't know me enough to say yes to get on a plane and travel to Italy to meet me is pretty cool, I think. And it's a goal that I've had for myself for a very long time. So I'm not just proud of myself, but super excited for the people who are actually coming to experience this with me. You've heard me talk a lot about this experience from the standpoint of my partner on this retreat, a colleague of mine by the name of Andrea Caprio. She's been a guest on this show with me. It's actually how we met. We met 3 or 4 years ago when she was a guest on our Tuesday flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. We hit it off. I invited her on this show to talk about how she does her client experience. And since then, we've collaborated on a couple of things. I've supported her. She supported me. And since she lives in Italy, you know, the thought came to me, what if we did this together? And so I'm super excited to actually get to meet her in person too, which I'm actually going to get to do for the first time on this retreat. So there's just a lot of full circle moments that have come around for me as I prepared for this retreat, which inspired me to record this episode for you. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is C-E-L-L-E-V-8.com. And use my special promo code, TheAllisonK2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this. Basically, what I've learned is this. Protecting your energy is everything. When I think back to doing that first retreat in Raleigh, do you know that I worked up till 9 o'clock the night before seeing clients? And the next morning, I even saw two clients early because I was still, even though I had moved and downsized my business and changed things, there was still that crazy thought in my head that I had to get everybody in. And that was a mistake that I made back then that I'm not willing to be available for now. So let me share with you what I think are the three things, or basically these are the three windows through which I look when I'm preparing for a retreat. And I usually, the time varies. People ask me all the time, well, how long does it take you to get ready? And, you know, it really depends on where I'm going and what my program is going to be about. Now, for overseas, I usually give myself a little bit more time to protect my energy, to rest, to be ensure that I'm prepared and ready. But I've had a very long time to think about this experience. And so for all intents and purposes, I've been in prep mode for a while, if I'm being honest, more than just a couple of weeks. But in the last 2 weeks, I've really dialed this in a lot more. And what I've learned over the years is that there's really not a magic amount of time that you want to give yourself. What I do know is that you always want to be thinking ahead. So what I encourage all of you to do out there in getting ready for a retreat or to lead a retreat is to give yourself a pretty big runway at first, especially if you've only done a couple, or maybe you haven't led one yet, but you're sort of feeling like maybe now's the time. Give yourself more time than what you need. This is really true for your marketing and your sales, to actually preparing yourself for the actual experience. You know, give yourself more time than what you need. I've learned this over the years. Fortunately, those first few retreats that I did taught me that my energy is not endless. Right? And that we have to give ourselves time, not just to figure things out, but to allow ourselves to really be in the space that we want and that we feel the most powerful to be in. Okay? So here are the three containers that I've really learned to dial in a lot better, especially over the last probably 2 years. Number one is setting intentions for myself. Now, I do this a lot on my retreats. And for those of you listening that have been on retreat with me, know that this is kind of a cornerstone of what we do every day, or intention checks. But I really am very intentional about this as a leader. I really kind of operate from two vantage points when it comes to this practice for myself. I think about, number one, what do I want this experience to look like for my people? And I set that intention right from the very beginning. I literally try, and I'm going to stop short of using the word visualize because I think that's way overused today. But instead, I literally create the experience in my head, what it's going to look like. What's the weather going to be like? What's the energy going to be like? What are the conversations going to be like? What are the things that people are going to want or going to show up and want to get out of it? You know, I'm very clear about that. It's one of the reasons why we usually do a call or some kind of opportunity to connect before we go, especially for the big trips. I've learned to do this better in the last year or two than I have in the past, if I'm being honest. So for our Italy retreat, we did that. We did a Zoom call a couple of weeks ago and we all got to meet. We all got to talk about what was important to us to get to walk away with. But also it gives us a chance to kind of talk a little bit and kind of start the experience, right? Kind of start to feel comfortable with each other. But for me, the other way that I look at this with intentions is, what are my intentions as a retreat leader? And I usually have two different kinds of intentions. One is, you know, and I pretty much alluded to this, what do I want the experience to look like? In other words, what do I want to carry off as the leader? What's most important to me? And number two, and this is where I think a lot of retreat leaders skip over, and that is, what am I available for my own growth, right? And I start to think about that, you know, like what that could really look like. What do I really want to learn about myself, right? How do I see this in terms of an experience that can help me grow as a leader for the future? Because remember, we have to learn to think about things before they actually happen, right? And this is where I think a lot of people just kind of check out. They think, well, I'll believe it when I see it. But it's usually the other way around. You really have to believe it first, and then you start to see it. So you really want to start this process before your retreat. And I've learned to do that fairly well. And so my intentions coming in for this Italy retreat is to let this be an expansive experience for myself as a leader, because this is probably our first big international retreat. I mean, we've been to the Caribbean, we've done St. Lucia, we've done Turks, we've done the Bahamas, we've done all of that. But this is really our first big experience in Europe. And I'm really seeing having a European experience at least once a year on the radar for us at CU Fitness and the Allison K Agency going forward. I've had the opportunity to come on European retreats as participants up until now. But this is really my first opportunity leading one. And so I think, you know, I've learned to kind of approach this through the lens of a beginner, but also to recognize what a big experience this could be for me as a leader in terms of my own personal growth. So I want to really kind of open that up. And I think rather than sit here and tell you these are exactly what my intentions are, I'm setting more of a broader experience for this first one. But the big thing that came up for me a couple of weeks ago as I was thinking about this is that I just want to be available for it all. I want to be available for all the moments. I want to be available to experience this through the eyes of my participants, right? And I want to be able to take that home with me in terms of one more step forward in my full vision to where we see ourselves doing retreats at other places around the globe, right? So I just cannot stress that enough. As a leader, you want to set your intentions early. Allow yourself to get into that space of creating every day, whether that's going outside and being by yourself, or, you know, going in a little bit early or quitting a little early, or just giving yourself that quiet time to dream a little bit. Because, you know, the bigger and busier that we get in business, we can sometimes forget that that's really important. So that's been a big lesson for me over the years, and something that I've really learned to dial in a lot better. And I spent a lot of time in my mind imagining what this experience could be like. So that's my first tip, so to speak, and really what I do to help prepare myself as a retreat leader, okay? The second one is the actual planning piece itself. And this is where I really give myself a lot of time to plan the agenda. I don't really go into any retreat that I do with huge plans. One of the intentions that I've learned to cultivate over the years is that I'm going to be able to give everybody exactly what they need. And sometimes that's not giving them something tangible. It's simply holding the space that it can happen for them, even if they don't know what it is. But at the same time, I always like to keep my agenda in line with the theme and the location of where we're going. Now, for the Italy retreat, Andrea and I have done quite a bit of legwork on the specific activities and places that we're going to be visiting, because there are obviously several villages in the Amalfi Coast area, and we're not going to be able to hit all of them on this retreat, but we are going to be able to hit a lot of the big ones. And since our theme for this retreat is La Dolce Vita in Movimento, which, if you know, La Dolce Vita is kind of the philosophy that Italians live by, and one of our promises to our participants is that you can take this home with you and implement it in your own life in your own way. So we're going to be doing a lot of experimenting with different types of activities on this retreat. And so one of the things that I had to do in my planning for this experience is to think about what that might look like. We always do my signature compass walk exercise. So I had to think, where does that make the most sense? It usually makes more sense to do it on the front end of a retreat than on the back end, although I've done it both places. The other thing is that what we do every single day in helping us share what we're learning along the way, because a lot of what we talk about on my retreats is meeting your future self. Now, it's not one of those things that's just going to happen when you wake up one day and you're like, well, there's my future self across the room. I'm just going to go introduce myself. It's not that simple. We literally create our future self every day through the decisions that we make and the habits that we enforce to ourselves, right? And the problem comes in when we talk about it, but we don't really put any action behind it. And this is what happens when we don't allow ourselves to have an opportunity to step out of our day-to-day routine. Now, when you're traveling, you're out of your comfort zone from the very beginning. You're not home. You're not in your regular routine. And you're sort of at the mercy of how things go. So every day, one of the things that I do in planning my agenda is to build time in to do that. And sometimes it's an activity that I come up with. Sometimes it's basically, you know, an intention check. I have a couple of sets of intention cards that I use. And if I'm feeling moved to use those, then I do. And if I don't, I come up with something else. I've been known to come up with questions on index cards and pass them out at breakfast or lunch. And we use that as an opportunity to share. But every day, there's usually something like this in my planning. And so I was very intentional for this retreat that even though we're doing some different activities, that we're going to have time to do this somehow. Now, sometimes I don't exactly know what that looks like, but I build it in with my planning. And I just have learned to trust myself that I will figure it out. And then the last thing I'm going to say about planning before I go on to the last part of my own retreat prep is that I've really learned to kind of go with the whole less is more philosophy more and more. Now, if you know me, you know I talk about this a lot in teaching retreats, okay, is that don't try to pack too much in. So it's a very delicate line to walk when you're trying to implement your agenda without violating what you think is a really important piece of it, okay? So sometimes there are literally activities that I sort of keep, so to speak, in my mental back pocket in case we have to make a change, you know? And so I really had to learn to do that for this trip because a lot of what we're going to be doing is outside. So we're really trusting that the weather is going to cooperate. But having said that, I already have a few activities in my back pocket in case we have to go to that. So for instance, if it rains one day and we have to make some schedule changes, then we'll simply go with what I call a plan B. And so a lot of that comes not just with practice, but with being able to trust yourself that you'll figure it out. And so this is, again, is why the setting the intentions piece is so important. And I really want to, if you don't walk away with anything else from today's episode, is that I want you to understand as a retreat leader that that's really key, is that give yourself time, maybe a month or two out from your experience to start creating in your mind what you want this to look like. And just tell yourself, I don't have to know the how. I don't have to know all the things. I don't have to have everything planned to the hour. But what I do know is that I'm going to figure it out. And I know that sounds really simple, and I don't mean to sound commonplace when I say that, but it does work. And I've learned to trust myself that sometimes we don't have to have everything laid out, right? We don't have to have everything planned to the hour and to the minute. Sometimes the best moments that have happened at my retreats are not the ones that are scheduled, right? And so And sometimes some of those lessons can be for you too as a leader. So understand that you want to give yourself the time to plan, but to really be intentional about what that looks like, and then let yourself really get creative. You know, I ordered books for all of my participants ahead of schedule and had them sent to them before we get to Italy. And one book that I sent them as a gift was a book about the Amalfi Coast, because I wanted them to begin reading about the beauty of the area, not just all the things you can do, but what the area actually symbolizes and what this area is all about. And so I want them to begin to create their own experience before they even get here. So I'm kind of passing along what I do for myself to them, okay? So I really would encourage you in your own planning and creation process to think about what that might look like. And then the last piece is, and this is probably the most critical, is really giving yourself time to protect your own energy. Don't give yourself space to be available for the old programs and thoughts that just don't work for you anymore. You know, understand that putting an experience on like this takes a lot of time and energy, and you want to make sure that you protect yourself too. Okay. So what does that look like? It might mean laying low on a few weekends before you go. It might mean being very intentional about your sleep and rest, trying to go to bed a little earlier, trying to ensure that you properly hydrate and fuel your bodies, making sure that your self-care doesn't get put on the back burner because you're trying to prepare for your participants, right? So you want to really think about that. I did not do this very well, I'm sort of ashamed to say, as a fitness professional of all people, for a long time. I always just told myself, well, I'll get to that later, I'll figure it out. And I always did, but it didn't always work for me in the best way. And so what I've learned to do now is to be very careful about when I go to bed and when I get up, and that I get my own workouts in, and that I properly fuel my body, and that I allow myself to protect my energy. Because look, your energy is your greatest resource. People are coming to your retreat because of your energy, right? They believe in your process and what you do. You don't have to convince people of that. When people saying yes, they're signing up for what you do because they see you as a role model, okay? And so I've learned to pay attention to that more. And it's not that I wasn't paying attention to it. I just wasn't always doing the best things for me, okay? And so I'm very unapologetic about that now. If that means I'm not available for client sessions or appointments, or if I have to reschedule things, then I do that. And I'm very clear about how I take care of myself, especially on nights and weekends. And sometimes that means turning off my phone. I never sleep with my phone in my room anyway. It's always away from me so that I'm not tempted and I fall into that rabbit hole. It's really easy to do. I actually give myself kind of a wind down routine in the evening where I read a little bit, and I get up in the morning and have my quiet time to myself to set my intentions for the day. So it really is more about putting clear boundaries in place for you. And I can't emphasize how important that is when you are inviting people into an experience with you, that where they are expecting not just you to be available, but for you to show up. And we have to remember as retreat leaders that we're on for more than a traditional day a lot, right? A lot of times if we're doing excursions and activities with people, you know, it can be a very full day. And to the point where you really need to give yourself plenty of downtime before and after. So, for example, when my participants leave on Thursday of next week, I'm going to give myself that night to myself, and I'm going to leave the next day. And that's something I've learned to do too, because I think protecting your energy is not just something that you hope you can do. You better make sure that you do it, because your retreat success really does depend on it. So let me just recap the three things that I do to prepare as a retreat leader. Number one, setting the intentions to create the kind of experience that I want, not just for my participants and my attendees, but for me too as a leader. Because you always want to be able to experience your own growth, just like you want people that retreat with you to have their moments of growth, right? Number two is the actual planning itself, thoughtfully thinking through your agenda, making sure that you're not trying to do too much, and ensuring that you have a couple of things in your back pocket for the event that you may have to do that. And look, it's okay if you don't have to, okay? And I'm not saying that you need a complete plan B agenda, but just have a few things in mind that you could do if you needed to pivot and you needed to change, okay? And then the third piece is the energy management piece, really paying attention to what you need as a leader to recharge, to keep your mind clear and focused, and to keep yourself rested and ready to go. I really can't emphasize that enough. And it may mean that you need to create free time in your schedule before and after your retreat. And if that's the case, then do that. But be open to changing that if you find that it's not working, okay? So I'm super excited to see my people tomorrow. If you're listening to this after the fact, you know, I will be recording an episode later where I share how this actually went, what people walked away with, and what my takeaways were as a retreat leader, because I always want you to see what's going on behind the scenes. So that's what I got for you this week on the podcast, folks, creating the world's best client experience. A little bit about the insights into how I prep as a retreat leader. Hopefully you got some value from that. And maybe if you're not implementing things already as a leader for your own preparation, maybe you could walk away with a few lessons of your own. Please know that I appreciate every single one of you, whether you're listening today to me for the first time or whether you've been following me for a while. Just know that we appreciate all of you. And I always love to hear your feedback. So if you feel inclined, please reach out and send me a DM. You can find me on any of my socials, or you can connect with me on my website, www.theallisonk.com, and just hit the connect button. It's in the upper right-hand corner, and write to me. I'd love to hear from you. So that's what I got for you this week on the podcast, folks, creating the world's best client experience. We will see you next time. Bye.